A Playlist Original.
Welcome to another episode of Unfiltered Adventures. I'm Steven.
And I'm Giselle.
And we are also known as the Lover's Passport. And today we have on a very special guest. It's our first time having a guest with all the video going. So if there's any little bits, we'll try and figure them out. But with that, we will welcome Susie.
Susie, thanks for coming on. For those of you guys that don't know, she is at Susie on the Move on her Instagram, and she is an incredible travel creator. If you guys don't follow her already, go check her out. Thanks for coming on. We're so stoked to have you.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. I've followed you guys for so long, so I'm excited to be on the podcast.
I know you
remember when we first started following her.
It's got to be like a year and a half.
No, longer than that.
You think? I have no idea. You follow a lot more people than I do.
I feel like I followed you guys like maybe around COVID, like maybe 2020. And then I remember first messaging you guys and you guys responded so fast. And it was like a very authentic message. Like I knew it came from you guys and I was like, wow, like they actually respond. And I think we've kind of talked back and forth since then.
That's awesome. I love hearing when people remember that kind of stuff because I never know. We still pride ourselves on always responding to like DMs and comments and things like that. Even with almost 800,000 followers now, we've definitely had to get some help, but like we still are pretty on top of that. I feel like I was on one of your posts the other day where you're like, yeah, I'm always trying to respond to all my comments, or maybe it's your like stories or something. But I love seeing other creators that are prioritizing like the actual community building, because I feel like a lot of people are just so obsessed about growth and all the numbers and they don't actually have the time of day to give back to their following. So it was very refreshing to see you talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. It's like post and ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's one thing that we always said from the beginning, because we felt that when we would reach out to like these other giant creators, we'd DM and be like, oh my gosh, we love this. We want to see more. And we would get nothing back. So I feel like that was one thing, especially in the beginning. We were like, we want to make sure that we're always there for our community. But granted, that was also when we had like 500 followers, and it's changed a
little different now.
I hear it gets really hard. And I think like it's so normal for things to slip. Like I'm genuinely shocked that even, I don't remember where you guys were at when I first messaged you, but I was like surprised because you guys had such a big following already at the time. And there's other creators that have a large following that respond really quickly. But then there's some that are like, I've maybe messaged them like a handful of times already and then nothing. And it just kind of sucks because you feel like you're connected to people that you follow. And then when you don't really get like a response back, it's just kind of like, oh, like I just kind of feel like, I don't know.
Yeah, we totally feel that. Have you met anyone out and about that's like followed you and been like, oh my gosh, Susie? I feel like that's so, it's such a fun experience because they know so much about it and we can just pick up conversation like immediately, whether it's about like travel or anything. Have you met a ton of other creators or just other people in the community?
I've met some creators, but it's like planned meeting. I've ran into what I can think of one creator. I don't know if you guys follow Asia.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
I ran into her in Lake Tahoe and she is like the sweetest person ever. So it was really cool to like run into each other and catch up, because like we'd been following each other. We just like didn't know we were going to be in the same place at the same time.
Is she another San Diego creator? I feel like San Diego is such a hub for like tons and
a
tons
lot of the
creators.
Travel creators.
California, like in general, I feel is a hub. I know she lives in California, but not San Diego.
Well, there's a lot of people. I remember when we first started, we genuinely thought everyone lived in the PNW or Utah. And that was it, because we've gotten a lot of campaigns specifically because we're like LA based. All right. What were we talking about?
Well, let's start jumping into some of these questions. So do you want to start with the creator questions or the travel questions first? Because we have a little mix of both. That's kind of what we've created the whole podcast on, is we try and be a little creator focused because we get so many people sending us DMs about that, but we love travel. That's like what we've always talked about. And we started the podcast off of like the funny Instagram versus reality moment. So which would you like to start with?
I think we can start with travel first.
Okay, right. Sweet. So first things first, I saw you were, I didn't realize you were from the Philippines. Did you grow up there?
Yeah, I did. I didn't move to the US till I was 10. So I do still speak Tagalog. And I try to go back every year because it's so beautiful. I saw that you guys were there. And you definitely need to come back.
I feel we were only there for like a very, very short period of time because we were on a cruise. So we definitely need to go back and like do it without the cruise ship and without having to get off and on and no time barriers. All the videos that we've seen from there is just insane, but there's so much to see.
Oh, for sure. There's like 7,000 islands. And when I grew up there, I didn't really go anywhere when I was little. Like, my family didn't travel. So it's not until now in my adult life that I actually am able to come back and visit. I try to visit a different island every time, and I feel like I have my whole life to like check out a new island because there's so many of them.
We said out of all the spots in Asia that we've been to, Philippines is top of our list to go back. We want to go there. We want to do like a little sailing from El Nido to Coron, or what else did we have? We want to do a lot of scuba diving out there, and we just did not have enough time to enjoy the beautiful water. Like, it was so nice. And all the people there were so nice, too. I feel like that was just a little tease last year, because we didn't do much Asia until, like, honestly, last year. That was our first time. We did Japan for the first time, and then we did our little cruise. So lots more to go back over there. You were just in Vietnam, too, right?
Yeah, I was pretty much in Asia for, like, a whole month. But yeah, I went to Vietnam, and that was a solo trip that I'd been wanting to do for a while. And that was a really awesome country. So beautiful. It kind of checks off everything that I love about traveling to a country, like the culture, the food. It was really affordable. The nature is beautiful. And it was really easy to get around because the locals there are so nice and helpful.
That's amazing. And I saw that was like one of your first big trips, right? Because I was looking on your website, and it says that you guys kind of had a similar story where your boyfriend asked you to go on like this big trip through Southeast Asia, and that was like when you really started to switch to travel. You said that you didn't even really start traveling until your 20s.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I didn't even know that I liked traveling. It was like we went to Bali and Thailand and did all that stuff, and I was like addicted. It was like the more I saw, the more I wanted to travel to more places. I don't know if you guys feel that way.
Oh, definitely.
What was it about that trip that like made you have that big switch? Because someone asked us the other day, like, why do you travel? Or like, how do you pick the places
where you go?
And for us, I feel like a lot of it was the views. We were like, oh, well, really want to see Mount Fuji. We really want to see like the beautiful water and like this and that. What was like the thing that started to drive you after that?
I think it was a feeling that I was chasing, I would say, at that time, because I don't even think that I was passionate about anything before I went on that big Asia trip. I think I felt really happy in a way that was actually something that I could carry throughout my life. And I just remember feeling like I didn't really need anything. Like, I was so content with just like the little things I have. And I never felt that way in my life before going on that trip. So
that's amazing. So cool to hear.
What were you doing before you became a travel creator? Did you have another job, or did you just like immediately jump into creation?
I was like a serial job quitter. I feel like I worked so many, like I pretty much just like worked like any job that I could possibly find. Like, I was a front desk receptionist. I was in banking. And the last full-time job I had was in marketing. And I am actually still a social media manager. I just do it.
Oh, really? Huh.
So I wouldn't say I'm like full-time. I would say most of my income is like in travel creation, but I do still do the social media freelance.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I feel like we've had a lot of people on the podcast, and it's wild because everyone has like the overarching theme of like travel creation, but how everyone manages to make money from it. And we'll get into that in a little bit of like everyone's different specializations and things like that. But I think it's really cool that I don't think we've had anyone that still does like social media management for anyone else besides themselves.
Very true.
We always tell people to get into it because it's such a lucrative market. Nobody wants to actually go on and post on their own socials.
I think that's like very overwhelming because it's like I have my own, like I feel like eventually your creativity just gets so drained.
I get that. I used to manage one too.
Yeah. And like doing that on top of your own content creation, it's like something's gotta give.
Yeah, I did it for the skincare and like hair care company I used to work for. I did their social media, I did their influencer program, I did their email marketing, all of that. And then after I was done with that, I'd switch into Lover's Passport right after work. And I was just like so burned out from social media at that time, which is why anytime we traveled, like you were saying, like I was just like so happy to not be doing anything else and just like experience a place.
I feel like in the beginning, you don't need like a ton of travel either. For us, we just needed like little weekend trip or like something to like fuel us. And then eventually like grows and grows. Did you do any like small trips with your boyfriend at first? Or did you just jump into like these massive 2 month trips throughout Southeast Asia?
I think we did like one road trip together.
Oh my God.
Go big or go home.
Like that's when you know you're like compatible, because we hadn't really been dating for that long when we went to Southeast Asia for 2 months and all we had were like was a carry on. So
wow.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah, it is. I think you guys kind of have a similar story.
Yep. Steven had never really done much international travel, but I hadn't done much like adventure travel. So he was the king of all that hiking and backpacking and mountaineering. But I had done a lot of the actual like flying on a plane on my own at like 15 years old kind of thing. So it's a good little mix up. But yeah, our third date was like a massive road trip to Big Sur and back in one day. That was a 10 hours in the car together. Check. All right, I like him. That's good enough.
Yeah. You guys went on a bunch of road trips too. I saw on the blog, you did band life full time. I didn't know that.
I think a lot of people don't. Like, I swear, I lived in a van for 2 years.
Wow. And people,
throughout that time, I just started renting not that long ago, but throughout that time, people would be like, oh, like, you have a van? Or like, some people even thought it was like a hotel.
And, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm like, I literally have lived in a van for 2 years, and so many people don't know that because I don't talk about it a lot. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I hear you talk about San Diego a lot, where I'm like, okay, yeah, Susie's in San Diego, but I haven't heard too much about the van. Do you still have the van, right? Or did you get rid? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I feel so bad for it because it's literally just like our commuter now.
But you still use it though, right? For like, you guys did Idaho and like some of the US states. Are you still like going out and using it for the most part? Or are you doing?
I have it over winter because like it doesn't have heat. So it's just
that's important.
Great right now. But in the summertime, like I'm definitely going to go on some road trips. I'm really itching because I miss it. Like I miss camping. I've just been doing a lot of like tropical, you know, I'm flying places, but I really miss like camping, backpacking, you know, van stuff.
I totally get that. We're trying to do the rest of the, I think now 24 states that we haven't finished yet this like summer going into fall. And so we'll be doing a lot of that. But I feel like, honestly, it's fascinating how much we have changed our like creation, because when we first started our travel page, we were exclusively road trip, camping, hiking, outdoors. And now we're almost not exclusively, but like we're not really in the outdoor. But honestly, I don't mind it. And we were originally going to do a separate podcast episode on this, but I feel like it's relevant because you're kind of in the same like circle of like you do hotels and tourism and airlines, but you also road trip and you also hike. Do you have a preference on like what kind of content you like creating more, like the road trippy hiking stuff or the like hotel Airbnb stuff? Because when I associate you with like content in my head, I'm like, oh, she's the Airbnb tourism like hotel queen.
Yeah, I feel like I have seasons. Like I feel like in the summer, I'm still like hardcore road trip outdoorsy stuff. And then like come winter and I'm like not even hiking anymore. Like I'm flying places. So I don't know. Like, I don't even have a preference, really. I think it just depends on the season. I like both, but I definitely know my audience has a preference.
What is your audience? Does your audience prefer like the hotels and stuff?
Stuff that goes viral for me are like the bougie, like resort, like a vacation.
But honestly, that's not bad because there's so much opportunity for working and getting gigs in that space. Whereas I feel like with outdoor brands, there's only so many outdoor brands you can work with, but there's like hundreds and hundreds of hotels and Airbnbs out there. At least that's what I tell myself after we pivoted out of outdoor a little bit more, because as much as I'd love to partner with REI and stuff, we're just not like that hardcore anymore versus like getting, because you're on a lot of Iberostar campaigns too, or at least I've seen you work with them in the past too, but like working with Iberostar and working with all these other like resort pass, I saw you worked with them recently. I feel like those are very easy to integrate organically, which is nice.
Totally. Like, I feel like my last couple of posts have all been sponsored, but they've been very like in line with my content. But I do think sometimes that I have a side of me when it comes to travel that I want to show more, you know, past the resort stuff where I'm just kind of like, I don't really know if people will enjoy it. Like I like seeing kind of more of the authentic side of different cultures and kind of showing other things, but I can't really complain either because things are really fun.
I know both sides. I feel like what you said was so true. Doing it in different seasons, like during one season, totally fine to be able to road trip and hike and do all of that stuff because you can't really do that in the winter, but you can go to all the beautiful Mexican resorts and all of the different places in the Caribbean or fly to Europe and go and do like a Northern Lights trip like we did. There's so many different aspects of travel. I remember G was having like an identity crisis with our content. She's like, which niche are we in? Like we do cruise content and road trip content and international and this and that. We do like too many different types to like narrow down.
Well, and then I posted that on the stories and everyone was like, that's why we like you. You're chaotic like us. Like, you don't just do one kind of travel. And I feel like, honestly, that's how most people aren't just go, like one form of travel, like only backpacking, only 5 stars. Like, realistically, the majority of like the American population, at least, is doing at least some variation of, oh, road tripping on the weekend, but we'll ball out for a week in Hawaii or something. And so on.
That's honestly really good to know because I've always worried about that because I feel like I post on such different ends of the spectrum. Like, and then I'll have people that'll ask like, oh, where did you camp? But I'll also have people that are like, oh, like I just booked this hotel and it was like $5,000 like for the weekend. It's like, like you guys are in such different places.
It really is. And I think it's just targeting your messaging to where you give options for everyone. I think that's the, like now when we do YouTube videos or blogs, I will always link Airbnb options. I'll link the luxury options and I'll do like some middle ground hotel because you just never know. Some people like will spend for a nice vacation. So, and then there's people like us who like we could buy a hotel, but we still sleep in the back of our 4Runner, but
what made you leave the van life? Because I know that you said that you did it for like 2 years. Was there a reason that brought you out of it and landed in San Diego?
Yeah, I think so. My boyfriend, Sam, and I had just kind of felt like we got everything that we wanted out of living in a van. Like we had already seen all the places that we wanted to see. And both of us were just craving a home base. Also, it was really hard to have our own individuality when sharing the same car and home. So he has things he wants to pursue in his life and career, and he couldn't really do that like while living in the van, so it felt like it was the right time.
Super. And was there something that brought you into the van? Was it like you guys were like, okay, we're just gonna go into this, do both work remotely, and that's what led you guys to be able to do it? Or
Only I did. Like he like quit his job to travel with me. And that was all my idea. Like I was literally harassing him. Like I was like showing him vans. And like, I think what got him to agree to it was like, I showed him how much money we could save. Like if we were to live in the van for a year and he was like, okay, I'm down.
What was that cost like? Cause I feel like a lot of people always say, oh, travel's so expensive, but realistically for you it was cheaper to move into a van and travel than like paying rent, right?
Yeah, I mean, especially rent in San Diego. Like I don't know that you could say the same thing like living elsewhere, but like also like around the time our van was done, we weren't really planning on living in it, but our rent had went up, and I don't know, I think it was a sign.
That's awesome.
But that's very interesting about the individualities and stuff, because we've had a few other van lifers on the podcast too, and I feel like having some sort of boundaries in the van, especially if you're a couple, is something that's not necessarily always talked about. Because I mean, we totally get it, we work together, we live together, not in a van, but like still we're with each other basically 24/7, and so imagine shrinking like our house into a couple hundred feet and then for like 2 years straight, I can totally see how that could be, you know, could probably get on each other's nerves a bit more.
I
mean, more.
Especially if you're working in two different jobs. I think for us, since we both work on the same thing, like we work at the same time. So I put on my headphones, G can put on her headphones, and then we go and work on our own things. And we can do that for hours. And then we're like, all right, is your laptop dead? Let's go to the next spot or something. I feel like it can be very different. If I had a different job, you were working different hours, like what we did before, it was much more difficult.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps if you guys are like doing the same thing. Like, I think we tried that because the original plan was that we were going to do this like Susie on the Move LLC together. But we learned it's just like he's not passionate about that stuff. Mm. So he like helped me as much as he could, but it wasn't something where he could really see a future in it. So I just feel like it wasn't fair for us to continue doing that with him, like kind of putting his career at a standstill for maybe another year. Like, I think we both really enjoyed the 2 years of traveling and my business has grown that way. But I think now it's like, he's back at his 9 to 5. He's very happy. He's learning how to fly. And I feel like it's like healthier now because we're both working on something
you're passionate about.
Yeah. Before it was just kind of like, you know, like it was like, I'm telling him like, I need help with this. But I think like the traveling was fun. But then I think if you're not feeling like you're moving forward with your career too, then you'll be unhappy.
Really cool.
And yeah, that's all good advice.
What was your favorite road trip you guys did in the van? I saw that you did one from like San Diego to Alaska, which is mind blowing. Was there one in particular that you thought was your favorite?
Probably that one. I feel like that was such a crazy task. I think being in Alaska was surreal. Being there in our home, having our dog with us, like it was just, I think I cried. I remember crying. We were on the Alaska Highway. Just to put it in perspective, how far it is too, like we spent 7 days driving 8 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
We just did a couple 8-hour days on our like Norway, Finland, Sweden trip. I can't imagine. We did 3, I think, 8-hour drives, right?
And that felt like a lot.
That was a long time. I can't imagine doing that for a week.
What? So wait, you didn't stop and like, oh, let's hang out in Oregon or let.
I should have specified. So it was a week long for 8 hour a day from Canada.
Oh my goodness.
Wait,
okay.
So you made it to the border and it was, wow, that is insane.
Yeah, like that was just going through Canada because Canada is huge and so much of that was also really remote. But we spent a month in Washington and Oregon and that was a lot of fun.
Okay, I thought you meant like you left San Diego, drove nonstop. I was like, what? How did you? That is completely insane. We've been meaning to make it up to Alaska. I think it would be so fun to do it with like the 4Runner, or we've been talking about potentially even getting a van and doing that in the coming years. I think that'd be so much fun. I think especially for Giselle to bring our dog would be like,
I just want to bring Karen everywhere. And like, honestly, your content doing all the summer road trip stuff with your dog, I was like, oh, see, it's possible. We can bring Karen on everything because she's such a good road trip dog and she can hike like 5 miles, no problem, even being a little chewini. But we've never really flown with her. She's so small. Yeah, she just gets really bad barrier anxiety. And so like, we don't even leave her at home alone. She goes to grandma's house down the street. And so she has a friend. As long as she has like another dog or another person, she's totally fine. Like, she's not even in this room. I don't know where she is, but she's just doing her own thing. But yeah, I would love to travel with our dog more because she loves, like, anytime we go to Sedona or like anywhere in Arizona, Utah, anywhere that's drivable, we'll take her. But yeah, it's just my heart. I'm like, I just want to go to Italy with my dog and drive around and do all the vineyards and the Dolomites and like all the amazing cities and bring Karen.
Be the dream.
Fly with my dog. She's like past that. She's like 30 pounds. So she's like cut off where I can take her flying with me. But she's had a hell of a time, you know, the past year. She's actually like, I feel like her life is a little bit sad now.
She's got post-trip depression.
I know. She's like, wait, when are we going on the next spot? I'm so used to opening the doors and just being able to go everywhere.
Karen loves camping.
Like, I would open the door and she's just like free because I would purposely camp in places where there's nobody around and I can just let her be free. And she had a different environment almost every day. So it was a really exciting life for her. And now it's like the same walk every day.
And now that you're based in San Diego, do you travel much more just in the US, or do you go outside the international a lot more? I've seen like a little bit of both. Which one do you do the most, you think, right now?
I don't know. I think it's a good combination of both. And I think because it's so fresh still, I moved in here February.
Very fresh.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping in the summer to do more road trips because I want my dog to be with me. But I do have work trips that take me out of the country. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I'm not really much of a planner too.
That's crazy to me. Steven's like that, but I am not at all. I'm like, all right, what are we doing in November? And it's like March. But I feel like with our line of work, you have to be so flexible because clients reach out literally like up to a week or two in advance. And they're like, hey, want to go to the DR next week? And you're like, okay, let me see if I got anything going on. And then some people reach out like months in advance. So it really is all over the place.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So you have some work lined. Where are you? What's your current travels plans that you already have?
I'm actually going to Mallorca with Iberostar. So that should
when?
Be.
Wait, we're going to. When?
No way. This weekend?
Yeah. Or wait, wait. Like April 1st?
Are you yeah.
Gonna oh, let's go.
We'll see you there.
Wait, that's so sick. I'm really excited that you guys are going to be
wait,
there.
Wait, what are the odds? Oh,
that's so funny. Yeah, we're going the 1st to the 6th.
I should have asked you guys because you've worked with them before.
We haven't seen too many other people work with them too. I feel like only you. Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, see, cool.
What
we'll
a
get
coincidence.
We'll get to meet in real. This is our little coffee chat before we meet you in real person in a week.
Yeah, so we'll be you guys already know what we're doing.
So much fun. Is there what's at the very top of your bucket list when it comes to whether it's state travel or international travel? Is there one spot that you've had on your list for a long time?
Socotra, I would say, is like the first thing that comes to mind. Hmm. Are you guys like seeing stuff about it?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of our friends JJ and Nikki just hosted a group trip there.
People and then, do trips to Socotra?
Yeah. Through like a very particular provider, but they just did a group trip out there and it looks really cool. The only reason we haven't like gone out there is because there's a lot of like political stuff and a lot of like, it's very hard. They have like one flight a week out there or something. Like the logistics of planning, it's a little harder, but
yeah.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few. It's slowly blowing up a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like there and is it Kazakhstan or Kyrgyzstan?
Kyrgyzstan?
That I feel like that location I've started to see a ton as well.
Yeah, I think I want to go to Spitzer mainly because I know that it's going to get pretty developed, but I think maybe the whole political thing might. I think it was fine for a little bit and then it's bad again. So
we'll see what happens, but it looks beautiful.
I know. They have those trees that you can't find anywhere else.
In my head, I call them the avatar trees, but I know they're not the avatar trees.
I don't remember right now.
I'm like, Singapore's got the avatar trees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, Southeast Asia, I feel like when I think of that, that's what I think of when I see the Avatar movie.
We went to the Avatar exhibit while we were in Singapore, and they were like very adamant that it was very based on Singapore. But people say anything for tourism these days, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's so fun. I feel like right now the top of our bucket list is like Antarctica and Patagonia. At least that's what it sounds like for later this year.
Well, if we do it later this year, we might do early next year based on like timing and everything. But we've canceled our Patagonia trip like twice. So we're hoping we finally get out there. And it's like, if you're already out there, you might as well do Antarctica because you're right there.
Yeah, I've been seeing so many creators going there. I'm surprised you guys haven't made it.
Oh, we're trying to pitch our way there. Watch out. 2025. That's the year.
Got too many other things going on.
Is this like already full for you guys?
It's decently full. It's not completely full.
We try and do like, I'm trying to think. We have Mallorca is the biggest one for April. We have a few like little weekend trips, but April's not too bad. And then we just booked two more hotel gigs for May, and then I'm trying to think what else we got going on. July we're heading back out to Norway, which will be really fun because we just loved going to the Lofoten Islands.
Somewhere we always leave really open because of a lot of the U.S.
tourism boards.
We just hop around so much within the states. And since we're trying to finish all the states this year during the summer months and then fall, we're just going to go ham. So that's where a lot of our time is probably going to be this year.
But we don't have anything like crazy booked outside of just like the couple hotel and like tourism board clients that we already have. We've honestly been pivoting a lot more like sponsored brand wise to like legit brands over tourism boards this year. I mean, I think it's just early. I feel like, I'm not sure if it's the same for you, but January to March is usually the slow like tourism season for us. And then summer to like October is just like, go, 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 like trip back to back to back to back to back. So
yeah, I remember seeing you guys' stories. I think it was last year you guys were working with like one tourism board and then you went to another one.
And then a cruise and then another one.
I know how exhausting those kinds of partnerships are. And I was like, are you guys okay?
A lot of people ask us that. They're like, you're doing way too much to be functioning right now. But no, those ones, we try and avoid that as much as possible. But I feel like October is literally the month every single year, like since 2021, has always been booked for like every other day. Like that's why Steven eventually had to quit his job in October of 2022, because he was not home for a single day to go into the martial arts studio. So he was like, I'm just not going to come back after that October.
Yeah, that was definitely the turning point for me.
But anyways, speaking of all this stuff, I feel like you are another like tourism board, hotel, Airbnb queen. Do you want to kind of tell everyone listening how you even got into all of that? Like, obviously, you chose travel as your no one's going to see that, you know, obviously, as you chose travel for your niche. But like, what made you end up getting into the Airbnb hotel tourism space in particular?
I think my first viral video ever was an Airbnb. Oh. So I feel like once that happened, I was like, cool. Like, I like doing this stuff. Like, I felt like I couldn't stop now. I was just posting for fun. Like, I wasn't even trying to grow, but then like this Airbnb got like, I think 2 million views on TikTok. And then after that, I just started posting my travels. And then it was always the same stuff. And then I remember even just from that, I like barely even had a following, like other Airbnbs had reached out and was like, hey, can you come stay here and do a review? And, I was doing trades for a little bit. And then, you know, as far as like the Airbnb hotel space goes, it was like, after a little while, then it was like, the money came, which is really nice. And then I don't even know how I got started with the tourism stuff. I think, oh my gosh, I think this is a funny story. I reached out, I saw one of my teachers from elementary school was the board of the Spokane tourism board. And I had already like, I think I had like 30,000 followers or something like that at the time. And I was like, hi, I'm a travel content creator. Like, do you guys collaborate with creators? And that was like the first time I think I'd worked with a tourism board. And he ended up connecting me with his with the communications person. And like, that was my first one. And I think like, once I had an example of like, oh, I've worked with this tourism board, then more came in. But yeah, I don't know. I reached out on LinkedIn.
Nice. Honestly, a lot of people sleep on LinkedIn and like the whole professional side, and Twitter too. I feel like Twitter, or I guess now it's X. A lot of people don't utilize LinkedIn or X to like find contacts and stuff, but that's super interesting actually. But I do feel the same way. Like once we got our first tourism collab, I feel like immediately they just started rolling in after that. Because once they see one, then they're much more inclined.
I mean, that's what I tell everyone is everyone's like, oh, you're crazy for posting 30 days. It's like all you need is one post to like go viral. You get that 3 million views. And those 3 million views aren't just ordinary people. They can be marketers. They can be people in the tourism space. They can be Airbnb people. They can be a certain brand. So it feels like whenever we do a sponsorship for a tourism client or a hotel client or something, seems like after that, there's definitely something that follows in the same category.
Yeah. When you say like, it takes one video, that is like so true, because I feel like ever since that one went viral, it was like, it kind of like, then your other content gets boosted and yeah. And it's interesting because I feel like that partnership like didn't even like do well for me, like at least my first tourism board one, but then like more came and they gave me a chance and I finally had like successful ones to show for. So,
and I mean, each one you're getting better to, you kind of see what works, what doesn't work as far as like, and then it's so interesting to me because a lot of the brands that everyone works with, like, let's say you work with a shoe brand like Nike or Merrell. They want to see, okay, kind of what's the ROI? How many clicks are you getting? How many with tourism? It's almost hard to measure what a successful ROI is besides eyeballs on their account.
Yeah, right? Like vanity metrics.
So it is very interesting to see. And I feel like it's easier to show a tourism board, like, this is the value. Like, I can get you 10 million views with this many deliverables and give you assets as well. It's much easier, at least for us, to pitch and work with tourism boards compared to some clients that only want specific ROIs on click-through rates and stuff.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. They're also, I feel like, the most natural for me because I feel like it's like I'm posting itineraries. It's like, what is more natural to work with than a tourism board when you're talking
right.
What destination to visit this summer, or like, you know, how to plan a road trip in California. So.
No, exactly. And I think it's funny because a lot of the people we've coached in the past, they're like, I'm not getting any tourism board like collaborations. What am I doing wrong? And you go look at their page and they don't post anything like what we post. And I'm like, well, you're not posting content that they want to see. Like, they want to see itineraries and destinations and guides and things. And these people are not doing that. So I feel like if you guys are listening and you're trying to get started with tourism boards, like, take a look at Susie's account and see like, okay, this is like a helpful travel tip or like a guide or some sort of useful piece of information that a destination would be able to profit off of somehow. And then start creating content that would be similar to those like destination ads almost, because I think that's the easiest way to start working with tourism boards is like start producing content that they would want to buy.
Yeah, very, very true. I mean, when especially with tourism boards and with Airbnbs, do you see yourself reaching out to quite a few of them, or do you see most of it incoming from them just seeing your work? Is there like a 50-50 or would you say 70-30?
I feel like I mostly have success with inbound because I feel like when I reach out, and I don't know if anyone else feels this way, it's like I either don't hear, maybe I'll get a partnership out of it, but sometimes I don't hear back where they're like, oh, like we'll do it later. And I have had some where I reached out and they reached out to me like 3 months later. I don't know if you guys have had, but it's like at least like I'm on their mind, but I do feel like mostly inbound.
Yeah. No, we get mostly inbound like for like our big paydays, but we do reach out. We still do a lot of outreach like in the beginning of the year just to get on people's radars because like tourism boards plan so far out these days, which we've noticed as a change in the space from like 2021 to now.
Oh my gosh. We pitched a few tourism boards in January and they're like, sorry, we don't have any partnership.
Until 2025.
Yeah. They were like, it's going to be a year and a half until we have another opening.
But it's not like Visit California. It's like Kansas or like Arkansas, which is the funniest part. Cause like those are not as the like attractive as like some of the other states.
That so makes sense. Laughing. Where I was like pitching to tourism boards, like I think in the fall of last year, and a lot of them were like, "Oh, we're already spent." Like,
yeah.
Later,
I feel like there's not only more competition, but it's also like if they have budget, they're allocating it pretty early on in their budget cycle. So you have to be so proactive now in terms of actually pitching yourself to tourism and whatnot. But also, I think it was interesting hearing like who has budget and who doesn't. I think it's a very common misconception among smaller creators that tourism boards don't have budget, but they absolutely do. And same thing with Airbnbs. Like, can you kind of chat about like how you find success working with Airbnbs and hotels that usually are just pitching you for exchange? Like, how do you typically turn that into a paid partnership?
Yeah, I feel like Airbnbs, I would say, are the hardest because you're not talking to people that have a marketing budget. You're not talking to people who know a thing about marketing. Like, these are families. Like, this is a family-owned business. So not only are they worried about the cleaning fee that they have to pay out of pocket, like losing the 2 nights from the stay, and now you're trying to convince them to pay you, it's really, really tough. But I think for me, like, what I usually say is, like, I'll show that proof of like bookings have happened. Like you can, I had one stay get like 50 bookings and I usually,
oh, wow.
Like, how many bookings did you get? So I can at least say like, yeah, you'd be able to get like a handful of bookings or so, or 50 or whatever. I also tell them where my followers are. So sometimes like, if it's like for me, my followers are in LA, San Diego, New York, random. It's like on the opposite side. But like, for example, here, I'm like, yeah, like this, you know, like I can get you bookings that are more immediate rather than like them following you and then maybe booking later. Those are much easier because a lot of people want like that quick reward when they
totally feel that. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's hard to prove, especially you were going back to like the tourism stuff. I think our biggest ROI is always with van rental companies. Like we drive so many people to buy van rentals when they travel like that. We've generated one van rental company, like $40,000.
It's not more now. It's just that it just keeps going. And it's from like an old Iceland video. I don't
like from like 2 years ago. Yeah. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think I was one of those people.
Yeah. If you used our link.
They rented a van through your affiliate.
Well, they were great. But like literally last week, we just joined the affiliate program for the van company that we used in New Zealand. And we've already made a couple hundred bucks from it, which means that they probably had a big, nice, fat rental booking from that. If we're making the couple hundred dollars from a 5% affiliate commission. So yeah, it's crazy. But I think that's another good piece of advice is like, I think a lot of people that are just starting out in the travel space or any other creator space, to be honest, they want to be paid immediately by all these travel brands, but they just don't realize like you also have to offer an ROI. And coming from an influencer marketing background where I manage the other side of it, where people wanted to get paid. And I absolutely believe that everyone should be getting paid for their content, even if you're super small. On the other hand, that's for your content fee, for your influencer fee, like your audience fee. You want to make sure that they're going to get some sort of benefit from using you as a creator. But, and a lot of people can't prove that. They're just like, oh, I got 1,000 views and you won't pay me $10,000.
I kind of just feel like I see a lot of these like videos that I feel like are giving people maybe the wrong idea. They're like the people like selling courses, and I'm not saying they're all bad, but I do.
Some of them are bad.
Not the creator passport.
No, we have never done a video where it's like get to stay in hotels for free. Like, no.
There's so many of them. And because like a lot of the social media pages that I manage right now are actually Airbnbs themselves. So I see these pitches and I'll go to the page and I feel like where people are lacking are like, where is the value you bring? It's usually just like, I'm a content creator and I would like to get two nights, like I'll take some photos. And that's kind of like the gist of it, where I feel like it's like, you kind of have to have like proof of success, I think, when you want to be successful at doing collaborations with hotels or Airbnbs.
That's very interesting. So you like manage like some other partnerships and stuff too?
I don't do the partnership stuff. Like I just do the social media, and then the property manager handles the partnerships. So he'll sometimes like maybe send me something and be like, what do you think of like their page or whatever? But I mainly don't.
Yeah.
But you probably see the DMs because I'm assuming quite a few people DM the companies.
That's
or the Airbnb.
When I used to get pitches from these skincare and like beauty influencers, we call them skinfluencers. It's just always fascinating because it'd be the same generic thing over and over and over again with the same first Canva media kit that everyone uses. And I'm like, you guys really didn't take the time of day to personalize any of this. And they're like, I love your product so much. I've been using it for years. I'll go and like search in the customer database. And I'm like, you're lying. You've never heard of our brand ever. Like, what are you talking about? So,
oh gosh, that is like exactly what I'm talking about. It's like they use, like, I remember, and I would see, it's funny because I would see the messages coming in and I would see the content that is driving those messages to come in. It's like, just get some photos off of Canva to show them like the photos you're going to do. And I'm like, these aren't even your photos. Like, how do I know that you're capable of taking photos if you don't, like, you have to go out there and do the damn work yourself. And then you can people that like you can take amazing photos.
I think there's also a misconception now that reels and like TikTok are so big. I feel like it used to be on Instagram when you were a travel creator, everyone was really good at photo because that's, you had to be good at photography in order to stand out. And now everyone thinks they're a photographer or like a like a property photographer or a product photographer because they have an iPhone. And while I think anyone can 100% make a full social media business off of their phone, I do not think that you can be licensing a ton of like yeah. images to properties on an iPhone. I think you could to brands because, but there's a difference in UGC and a difference in product photography and like brand photography. And I think a lot of those videos that you were talking about combine the two into one and don't really tell people the difference in how you approach those separate types of collaborations. At least that's my hot take.
Yeah, I totally agree with that though. I feel like there's quite a few, especially when we were first getting started, was much more heavily photo. And now there's people that I've never seen them post a photo, but they have hundreds of thousands of followers.
And then they teach people how to take photos for Airbnb and they don't even post photos.
I get both. It makes me want to like go on a rant and I just have to like stop myself.
And that's when you go on Threads and just read everyone else.
Oh my God. Are you on Threads?
Oh yeah, I am, but I don't use it. I literally just use Threads to like look at people.
I lurk too. I'm a Threads lurker.
Yeah. It's very entertaining. It's like, I always see stuff about creators. It's either creators complaining about being a creator or people complaining about
creators.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's kind of negative, at least from what I've seen, but it's fun to lurk in.
It's very negative. And we'll never post anything about content creation on there, like at least on the Lover's Passport page. And I'm just like, oh, went to the movies, like love Dune 2. And then everyone's like, oh, I hate the algorithm. Like, I think it's funny because people could be investing so much time into actually like other things of their business, but instead of Threads, just like complaining all day. But I do find a good giggle out of it, you know?
Yeah, anyways. I was just on it today. Like, I feel like I go on maybe once, like every couple of weeks, and it's always, I get sucked in and then I'm like, okay, this is draining.
It really is. Especially if you're just like a one person team too. I feel like getting sucked into that and seeing all the negativity and then it affects you. Like, I feel like it does. Steven's like, okay, don't read that crap anymore.
I mean, it's the same thing with comments. G's not allowed to read any of our comments.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Because I get way too feisty and want to defend myself. Honestly, since we switched from like outdoor adventure to just travel and adventure, way less of an issue. Like, significantly less. I feel like everyone, and not everyone, but a lot of the people who indulge in outdoor content, a real hiking pull up their butt. And so like they were just so mean on some of our videos. And then once we switched to travel, it like definitely lightened up.
Yeah, I feel like I feel the same way about that, because I think like when you're posting outdoor content, a lot of people don't want you to share outdoor spaces. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's always brings up this issue with like, you know, geotagging, gatekeeping. It's like the most divisive thing I feel on Instagram, which is kind of why I'm happy I don't post a ton of that stuff anymore, because it's scary.
It is. That's why we switched.
Well,
from
I feel
it.
Like every account goes through that like little bit where they're like, oh, I want to provide a ton of information. I'm going to give out all of these spots because I found them. And then you get all the hate and you're like, oh, but you've grown from all the hate and giving out all those locations. So then you're like, okay, well, I'll do it a little bit more. But it just gets to the point where you share locations and you share all of these like itineraries and stuff. And you just get so much hate where it like drains. You're like, all right, well, that's why we've switched to just like the POV or the when. And then a bunch of montages after that.
Itineraries, as long as they have the infrastructure to handle like a large amount of
people. Or we'll send them to like a blog or like a long form YouTube video. But people, especially on Instagram and TikTok, can just be vicious when it comes to like posting any type of location, especially in the US. Outside the US, everyone's so stoked. They're like, thank you for coming to my country. You're amazing. Like, we posted this one from Dominican Republic and people were so stoked on just, I can't believe you appreciated my city. And we post something about the US and there's like, oh, there's a dumpster fire this Saturday or something. I'm just like, guys,
get out of my city.
If you want real fun, just post anything about California and you'll see like all the real good comments come out.
It gets crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the political stuff.
Mm-hmm. Could be nothing about you, but people got a lot to say.
Yeah. I feel like once like the comments start to come in, it's like, I just ignore them. They're not, you know, I feel like, and then people start arguing in their own little comments.
Yes. It's always amusing, but yeah, I'm not allowed to look at those anymore because I'll get in a whole And then Steven will just like tell me, why'd you look at the comments? I'm like, yeah. I don't know, it just popped up.
Just want to kind of like explain yourself. And I think I used to feel that way, that I need to explain myself, but it never ends up being good.
Right. I just block and delete.
Yeah, like people believe what they believe and they're usually stuck in that, because I've been very polite sometimes, even when I respond to the negative things and people are still mean. So I'm like, these people already have their mind made up. I don't even know why I'm wasting my time. Like, I don't know if they even have a profile picture.
Yeah.
Or if their usernames end in like numbers, it's all numbers or something. I'm like, nope, not worth it.
That's crazy. So anyway, so you're doing all this content creation, but you're also doing social media management. Do you have a team or anything, or are you just a one-woman show?
No, it's just me. And I've honestly been thinking about this a lot.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, like I've been thinking about this a lot lately, where I kind of feel like I want to hire out, but at the same time, I feel like I can just be better at time management.
She's going through all the entrepreneur things that we did. I can promise you, outsourcing has made such a difference for like being able to scale the business. Not even just like one person. I feel like doing one person for a task that is not like your main source of income first helps a lot, because like we outsource YouTube first, or YouTube editing, and that's not like our main platform. So we were less like, you know, loosen the reins a little bit. And then once we saw that was working out, we're like, oh, we have all this extra time now. Like, wow, this is amazing. And so then we got managers. And then after we got managers, we started outsourcing. Like I now get help on the blog. So like I'll write a blog article, and then our writers will write a blog article, and then so on and so forth. And it's just so nice, because you have so much more time to work on things that you actually enjoy.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for you guys, because you guys are doing so many things. You're on so many platforms. I feel like I'm struggling just to even work on like maybe one more. Like I want to do an email list. I want to be on YouTube. A podcast would be cool. But oh, and my blog, like I feel like I only have time really for like Instagram, TikTok, and my blog.
And that's all you need. You don't need anymore.
Like by itself, like I feel like one of those usually kind of like falls under. And then like if I'm traveling or something for work, then I barely have time to do like the admin things. So yeah, I feel that pain. And I know a lot of content creators have definitely hired out. I feel like I'm like the only one I know that hasn't at this point. Cause I remember I just reached out to a creator the other day. I was asking her about like doing an email list, and I wanted to start like doing little like
funnels,
hikes. And she was like, oh, I have my VA do that.
And I was it's true. We outsource our emails too. I'll help write copy, but like she actually does the funnels and the scheduling and stuff. And she's been doing all of our like course emails too. And it's just like, oh,
it helps so much. I feel we call it a generalist, like someone that can help you with anything. If 1 week you need a little bit of help with blogging, or like, okay, I wrote the blog, just put it in there and figure it.
Like go compress the images for me.
It takes that extra little bit. Or if you're trying to, let's say you're doing a post, or a ton of people are asking for Airbnb links or something. Instead of you taking the hour or 2 hours, just be like, oh, can you drop the link to the 200 people in my DMs or something? I feel like that having a generalist just solves so many problems. But I mean, it also comes down to like, what are your streams of income right now as a creator? Are you mainly just like the two or three, or do you have income coming in from the blog and all of these other sources as well?
I think the income I'm getting in from the blog is very, very small. So it's like the affiliate stuff from hotels mostly. And then my main source of income is brand partnerships. So I'm trying to kind of like really diversify that. And that's kind of where the social media management is really nice, because that's very, very steady. But yeah, I'm trying to do a little bit better this year. I feel like the creator side and the business side of things are very different. And I'm trying to be better at the business side this year, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
You're not alone. Right, most people are like that, to be honest.
I think that that's one thing that we've seen like across the board, though, is there's these creators that can have these massive followings. We know some people that have 1 million followers, but they are asking us, or like our friends that have 100K, and saying, how are you making money? How are you getting these partnerships? I'm not getting paid anything. So you can either be like, we call them the creatives. Then we say there's business people that are creators. There's two different things. And I think that the people that we see making all the money and that are running these very successful businesses
They're not the most creative.
Yeah, they treat it like it's a business, and their creation's there, but it's much heavy on the business side of it.
Yeah, I think you guys do like such an incredible job of like both, because I feel like you kind of like set a pretty good standard, you know, like when
thank you.
But also like treating it like a business so that you're profiting off of the efforts that you put into it. So it's like, I don't know, I'm just trying to find that balance, because I think the past 2 years too, when I was traveling in the van, I was kind of just like, like I'm just living life. I'm posting what I want to post and I post what I want to post. And I was just like enjoying traveling. And now that I'm back, I'm like, I really need to be better about this. And
I think just setting up systems will help a lot. Like just getting all of your stuff the foundations of like your email list set up, getting some automations, getting like a freebie to grow that email list and like all that kind of stuff. Your life's going to be like so much easier once you just get that stuff done. And that's why we hired a VA, because she did all that stuff for us. And so we'll keep praising our VA and like all the team, because it seriously made such a difference. But
when did you guys decide to get a VA?
This year in January. So she's fairly new, but she was our coach, like our first coach. Do you know Danny the Explorer?
Yes.
So she's our VA / like business admin girly. Yeah. We love her. But yeah, we obviously trust her with everything, and she's been such an asset, and she does it. That's like her new business. We had her on the podcast last season. And she had told us on that she was branching out into like more of the business admin management side of things. And so, yeah, we were one of her first new clients, but
I've been seeing her videos about transitioning from being a creator to supporting creators, and she's love it. So, and I know
she's
a lot
great.
Of like myself.
We'll intro you know.
let's say if someone was looking to grow, what would be like the one thing that you have? You have like 260,000 followers across platforms now, which is amazing. What would be your one piece of advice if someone saw you out there and was like, Susie, how are you doing what you do?
Oh God. I think like just being consistent, and I think like just enjoying doing what you're doing, for at least for me. Like I think a lot of people focus a lot on the results and not so much like actually enjoying the craft itself. Like you should enjoy, like if you want to be a travel creator, you should enjoy the actual creating and sharing of your travels, and not like jumping into like, how can I work with hotels as like your first like goal, if that makes sense. Cause I think like once you kind of like are focused on the results, then I feel like it's just like, if you're not going to get there, which you probably, it's hard to get to that point. Yeah. So you have to actually enjoy it, I think.
That's great advice.
I'm reading this book right now. It's called Feel Good Productivity. And it's literally talking about the thing is like, people struggle to be consistent so hard, but it's because they don't enjoy the process of being consistent. Like find the things that you enjoy about it. And then that will cause you to exponentially grow, compared to saying, okay, well, I want to get there, but they don't focus on that whole middle section of it. So totally feel that.
Great. I think it translates into content too. Like you can tell you love what you're doing from your page. Whereas I feel like other people that are trying to make it, they almost try like too hard, and then it like shows on the page. I don't know.
Yeah. I believe when we were one section of the Creator Passport, we talk about voiceovers. And I believe that you were one of the examples that I went through, and we dissected one of your voiceovers
are great.
Look at this hook. Look at this middle part. Look at this little CTA. This is what happened. And I think I'm pretty sure. I don't remember.
I'm like
exactly,
99% positive,
but I pulled like 10 accounts that I was like, these are great voiceovers from like 10 different niches. So you're absolutely killing it.
I hate doing voiceovers.
So do I, but yours are actually really good.
Like I hate my voice, and other people make damn sure of it to let me know they hate my voice.
Oh my God.
But I feel like voiceovers like bring value. But I hate doing them, because like I feel like it's so awkward sometimes, and it's kind of hard sometimes. Like I just want to show the scenery. I just want to show the scenes.
Yeah.
That's why Steven does most of them.
We totally get into that little bubble too. So I feel that.
Well, and I think honestly, having a podcast and a YouTube channel has definitely made me more comfortable doing it. But even just recording like the stories I posted this morning, like get ready with me, I was like, oh, I have to like talk to the camera and like no one else is here. I'm just like putting on makeup, which I'm, you know, whatever, I don't really do. And so it's all so uncomfortable sometimes. But I feel like, you know,
pretty natural because you guys have been like in front of, I think being in front of the camera is really, really hard, but I do feel like it's super important to like connect with people. Like, I think maybe you think you're uncomfortable, but then like when other people watch it, like when I was watching you doing your makeup this morning, I was like, oh my gosh, she's like, so it was very natural.
Oh, well, thank you. There yeah. You go. I was like, am I even putting this, am I like contouring right? I don't even know.
All right. Well, with that, we'll wrap it up with my, this is my favorite question ever. I asked G this like one of our first,
the first night
that I ever met her. What is the craziest / most exciting thing you've ever done?
Oh my God. Am I boring?
Well, I love this question because everyone has such a different answer because it's all about what's exciting to you or what's the most interesting to you.
Like, we've had quite a variety of answers in the past, like from eating scorpions to like climbing up volcanoes to going to a party. Like,
they're all so different.
Yeah, I think because, like, this is reason. So I'm like kind of remembering it. Like, I don't know if there's something crazier I'd done before, but when I went to Vietnam solo, like I didn't know how to ride like a motorbike. Like I literally just learned right there. And like, I rented it to do like this, like 200-mile loop or whatever.
Dang.
In like a really remote area. So it was like a very unfamiliar thing. And it was like, I guess, crazy in a sense where it was like very uncomfortable. Like I wouldn't consider myself like a brave person. But that was really incredible. Like that
sounds awesome.
Such a cool experience. Like it was so, I saw maybe like two tourists. Like I thought more touristy than that, but like I definitely was out there, like in the countryside of Vietnam.
You know what I'll have to do is the giant caves in Vietnam.
Oh, I know. Those look nuts.
You haven't done those, have you?
No, I would love to. I actually looked at it like for my trip, but I guess you have to reserve them a
pretty
year
far.
And it's like $3,000.
Well, let's plan it now. And then, you know, we can all be on another Bureau Star campaign.
There we go. All right. Well, where can everyone listening to this podcast find you? What's coming up that's exciting for you besides Mallorca? We'll see you there.
I'm going to Kauai.
Oh, amazing.
My first Hawaii trip. So I'm super excited.
That's so amazing.
That's our probably favorite island out there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I want to go to more islands, but like Kauai, I think like Nepali coast is like pretty high up my bucket list. So
just be careful out there. They're super regulatory now because a lot of dumb travel creators didn't follow the rules over there. Yeah. And now they shut down a lot of stuff and are finding people. Just
a lot of the stuff I'm recommended are like, I look it up and it says like closed.
Dude, I literally, oh man, it drives me nuts because, well, hold on. We're good. Okay. Yeah. It drives me nuts because I'm such a rule follower. Like, especially with our audience size, I do not want to promote anything that is going to get people in trouble. And so I'm like, no, Steven, we can't go there. Like, it's closed. It's not a real trail. Like, whatever. And then, like, months later, years later, I see people going out there and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Really? And like, okay. Or like flying drones where they're not supposed to. That's honestly the biggest thing.
Yeah. That was the biggest one that I've seen. Everyone flies their FPV drones out there.
But yeah, don't do that. Do a helicopter ride though. That was sick.
Hands down, the best one we've done.
Yeah. Anyways,
we'll talk about doing that. We will see. I know I for sure want to do one of those like cave like raft things. I don't know if you guys did that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That looks
those are fun. We did. Yeah, we did one of those, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
We did one of those too. Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. If you guys want to go and follow Susie, we'll link everything down below in the description. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Spotify or if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can find her at Susie on the Move on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. So go send her
and the blog.
Yeah, go send her a DM. Tell her what your favorite part about the episode was. And with that, we will be wrapping up this episode, and we'll see you next Friday with another episode of Unfiltered Adventures.
Bye.